Well, unfortunately for all of you, the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump is going to be one of the biggest, most consistent news stories for a while. And yeah, it's a real shame that it's not being broadcast live. Although we do completely understand that it would be dangerous for anyone involved in the case for a plethora of reasons. But mainly, all of the threats that would come their way as a result of the unintended fame.
But hey, if there were cameras in that courtroom, we wouldn't be getting these amazing, hand-drawn images depicting the events in that courtroom.
They are really, really good. But still, the reporting coming out of the trial definitely paints the picture of a desperate, stinky man whose legal team appears to be in over their heads and trying anything to get their client off, including putting a pecker on the stand as the first witness. But while last week's focus was on the impossible task of selecting a jury, the actual trial kicked off on Monday of this week with opening statements from the prosecution and the defense, the examination of the aforementioned pecker, and even more potential gag violations from the former president. Keeping in mind that all of this is happening while he's representing the Conservative Party in the 2024 U.S. presidential election.
And might win. Although, his momentum seems to have kind of vanished. Who the hell knows?
Well, he's blaming that on the trial, obviously, yeah. Because he could be out campaigning like crazy.
Joe Biden has flatlined at like sub 50% approval, but Donald Trump has also, no one likes either of these men.
Yeah.
What a fun time to be a voter.
Mm-hmm.
So the opening statements on Monday gave us all a preview of the entire trial, and they showed what the prosecution and defense are going to be focusing on, with the prosecution arguing repeatedly that Trump was involved in a sprawling criminal conspiracy to cover up his relationship with a porn star with bribes in order to maintain a dominant role in the 2016 election. And the defense claiming that he did nothing wrong, wasn't directly involved in any kind of cover-up or conspiracy, and also, in an oddly worded defense, that there is nothing wrong with trying to influence an election.
I mean,
Your Honor, my client is just a humble influencer doing what influencers do best, influencing.
Yeah. I mean,
technically not wrong, I guess. It's just an intentionally opaque way to describe something in order to make what could amount to substantial crimes seem completely harmless. Or in the words of Trump's lawyers, that's just democracy, baby. But like, we've seen this over the last 9 years where Trump does something completely out of pocket and people are like, oh, so now it's a bad thing to, and then they just describe it in the most like,
child hand, like
technically yeah. accurate, but just really burying the lead way.
Yeah, it happens frequently, and it does kind of work out for him. They infantilize a nearly 80-year-old man yeah. into saying, "Oh gosh, golly, really? You're gonna get angry at him for doing something as simple as influencing a presidential election?" But anyways, with more on the opening statements from both sides of the courtroom, here's the New York Times. Matthew Colangelo, a prosecutor, laid out in his opening statement a tale that touched on tabloid journalism, tawdry affairs, and covertly recorded phone calls. Jurors will likely be told about events inside fancy hotel rooms, Trump Tower, and even the Oval Office. And the stakes? The presidency. All that suggests that the case will keep jurors wide awake during the 6 or so weeks.
Yeah,
6 weeks. Buckle up, everyone.
Oh, baby.
Which, like, on the grand scheme of things,
that's a long trial.
It is a long trial, but, like, I don't know. We've lived through some longer trials. It is very extensive, though.
How long was the OJ trial?
A year.
The trial took a year?
The Johnny Depp one was like 3 months, wasn't it?
No.
I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering. But yeah, 6 weeks at the very least where it's going to be done with more than enough time to get back on that campaign trail, you know, and really start flexing that muscle. The muscles that are, as we'll get to, completely deteriorating inside that courtroom because
it's too cold.
He can't exercise in the courtroom like he usually does.
Typical daily workout regimen.
Yeah, and his amazing meals that he has prepared for him at his many golf clubs.
He works to look this good.
He's not going to be able to have those. Instead, they're going down to McDonald's and dropping $700 every day in order to feed this man and everyone around him. So, well, and he does that because you know that they're not going to fuck with the food.
That's right.
As we all know. Anyways, it continues. Colangelo began by telling jurors that Mr. Trump had conspired with his former fixer, Michael D. Cohen, and the publisher of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, to conceal damaging stories during his 2016 campaign. Quote, This case is about a criminal conspiracy and a cover-up, Mr. Colangelo said, telling a story about a hush money payment to a porn star and insisting that the former president was ultimately responsible. In the end, Mr. Colangelo said, there would be only one conclusion. Donald Trump is guilty of 34 counts of falsifying business records in the first degree. And if you love downplaying certain things, you're going to love what his defense says about those felony charges, because, again, just masterful wordplay in making things seem way less serious than they actually are.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here wondering if this Mr. Colangelo, I assume he does, someone in his family is named Michael, and that guy is named
Michael Colangelo.
Mike Colangelo.
Yes.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it continues. Immediately after Mr. Colangelo's presentation, Mr. Trump's lead lawyer, Todd Blanch, directly disagreed, insisting that the jury acquit the former president. Mr. Trump, he said, had engaged in actions that were legal and normal.
And we added, pretty cool.
President Trump did not commit any crimes, Mr. Blanch told the jury, using the former president's preferred form of address. The lawyer told jurors that Mr. Trump had earned the right to be referred to as president and reminded them that he was the presumptive Republican nominee. Mr. Blanch argued that there was nothing illegal about non-disclosure agreements, which he said companies, the wealthy, and the famous all use frequently.
Uh-huh.
Why do they use them frequently?
I don't know.
Reasons.
Yeah.
They all have reasons.
They sure do.
So this defense in particular, it was also parroted on Fox News, where hosts of Fox and Friends downplayed NDAs and payoffs by saying that it happens all the time for large businesses.
Yeah.
Do you think this is just compensation for a non-disclosure agreement, which happens all the time in big businesses especially?
Fox News, NDAs, hush money.
That sounds
familiar. Why does this seem so familiar? Oh, yeah, it's because this is very ironic for anyone at Fox News to talk about, considering their long and notable history of settlements and NDAs for sexual harassment and misconduct, all in service of protecting Roger Ailes, the man at the top.
And Bill O'Reilly.
And him.
They made a movie about this.
They did.
Yeah. Also,
I never saw it.
It happened in real life.
Yes. There's a movie and...
based on the real life events.
Yeah, based a rip from the headlines.
So Trump's lawyers went on to say that the prosecution had nothing more than just 34 pieces of paper.
Oh, I love that.
That Trump had nothing to do with. And that is referring, of course, to the 34 felony charges against the former president, which further drives home the point that over the course of this trial, Trump's team is going to try to downplay every single charge against him, framing everything he's ever done as harmless and totally legal and actually very cool.
Yeah. I mean, what is a criminal charge but a single piece of paper?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not too impressive when you look at it that way.
What is a warrant than just a piece of paper? Your Honor, I say we throw this piece of paper away.
Mm-hmm.
Be done with this whole thing.
Let's go green. Mm-hmm. Let's do this over email.
The prosecution, however, put their main argument in focus, convincing jurors that Mr. Trump concealed the violation of a state law that forbids conspiracy to promote or prevent an election. And for his part, Donald Trump was relatively subdued during all of this going on, though he did get to air his grievances outside the courtroom when he went on a rambling 8-minute rant to TV cameras, presumably after saying,
I'm being silenced. Yeah, I'm not allowed to say anything.
He, among other things, claimed that the trial itself is election interference and a witch hunt over something that he says is totally legal, while also setting aside some time to, of course, potentially violate his gag order by talking about his former fixer, Michael Cohen.
And when are they going to look at all the lies that Cohen did in the last trial? He got caught lying in the last trial. So he got caught lying, pure lying. And when are they going to look at that?
You can't do that.
No.
But I guess he can, because what are you going to do about it?
He has like a contempt hearing already because of doing this. So
just from jury selection.
Just keep throwing things on the pile and...
It would be funny if he does manage to wriggle his way out of this one, but they still put him in a jail cell for like, I don't know, 3 nights because of all the contempt charges he's racked up.
Yeah.
That would be... I feel like that would make everyone happy. Right?
Even Trump, because they need to be able to sell more merch.
That's right.
Look what they did to your favorite president.
So let's rewind just a second, because back in the courtroom, the first witness took the stand to answer questions, and it was none other than David Pecker, a funny-looking guy with a funny-sounding name, who also happens to be the CEO of American Media and publisher of the National Enquirer tabloid that was brought into this fiasco because of their reported catch-and-kill operation that would buy the exclusive rights to stories with the sole intention of burying them entirely so that the public would never hear about them. Mm-hmm. And this was not just stories about Trump. Notably, lots of stories about Harvey Weinstein as well. This was done in service of some of the most despicable people on the face of the earth.
Yeah.
So his testimony, Mr. Pecker's, was interesting, and we'll get to it in a second. But in another weird, ironic twist to the coverage of this trial in general, Jeffrey Toobin, he went a little viral on Twitter after bluntly announcing that, quote, Pecker has taken the witness stand, which is a funny thing to say for, here's a flashback, a reporter who got caught just cranking his hog on a webcam during a Zoom call with other journalists where I guess he assumed the camera was off and he had some downtime to rub one
out. Mistress 2, I think it was at the time.
Oh my God, yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know that was still on.
I believe he kept his job. It was very
No, weird. He got fired from the New Yorker, but
he was back as a panelist on like CNN or MSNBC like within weeks.
And yeah.
People were like, okay, so we're just gonna, okay.
A simple mistake.
Yeah. Hey, who among us hasn't gotten a little bit bored during a Zoom call?
And it was tried the pandemic.
Tried to occupy ourselves. I mean, some people have fidget spinners. Some people have
Hogs
perhaps a Rubik's Cube. Jeffrey Toobin has a hog, and it demands cranking.
Also, he was sort of involved in the O.J. case. I know he wrote a book about it immediately afterwards, so it all goes back. But Pecker's participation piqued the potential prisoner's interest, though, meaning that I thought I wrote that for you, but I guess it timed right for me, and I didn't screw it up, so that's good. Pecker's participation piqued the potential prisoner's interest, though, meaning Trump was very attentive during his testimony and reportedly stared daggers right at Pecker, saying, don't you... You know. Yeah, speaking of artist renditions, every artist rendition of Trump looks like he's mean mugging everyone in the courtroom. Just like over accentuating his eyebrows and his scowl.
Yeah, this is what I love about courtroom drawings is they, more than a photograph, they get to like the feeling of a scene. More
they capture the essence.
Yeah, they capture the essence of it.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was, his ears perked up. He was listening very intently as Mr. Pecker. Well, this is the first time hearing of this catch and kill thing. I wouldn't know about that. I instructed my fixer to handle all of this for me. But yes, he was listening intently as Pecker answered questions about his time at National Enquirer and involvement in the catch and kill tactics, admitting that, yeah, the company did participate in, quote, checkbook journalism, which involves paying sources for their stories. And also he said that, yeah, he had final say regarding stories that would appear in the tabloid. So that would mean that he can say yes or no to what is going to appear in the press, and they have the exclusive rights to that stuff. So if it doesn't appear in there,
no,
it doesn't go anywhere. And as many have pointed out, Pecker is not formally charged with wrongdoing here, but also he was granted immunity back in 2018 in exchange for his testimony. And also the previously mentioned Michael Cohen admitted that he and Pecker had conspired with each other to hide stories that would potentially hurt Donald Trump's image.
That Michael Cohen is a real pit bull.
That's what I'm hearing. Much like
Ladies
Elon Musk,
love him.
He had his own little side accounts going.
Still one of my favorite things we ever covered.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for the coverage of the trial, Fox News did their best to once again paint Trump as just this poor old man who simply cannot appear in court because he's just so old and so frail.
He's doddering! Why are we wheeling him into court? Look at that doddering
this
old man.
This old, pathetic man should be our next president, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, look, it's sad that the legal system is forcing him to be there.
Yeah.
He should be spending his last remaining years surrounded by friends and family.
What they need to do is...
Before he becomes our next president.
What they need to do is they need to dress Trump up like Arthur Knight and wheel him into that courtroom.
Oh.
I couldn't do anything of the sort, for I am a British man.
I would love to hear Trump do what he thinks a British accent sounds like.
This man is free to go. He's made the entire country come together and laugh.
Like, what the fuck would that sound like?
No, but he needs the oxygen mask and everything else.
This is like one of the few times where I'm like, I need generative AI will answer this question for me in a way nothing else can.
Yeah.
What would Donald Trump sound like with a British accent? Exact same voice box, same person, but what if he was British?
It's just going to be a video of, what's his name? The British Donald
Boris
Trump.
Johnson.
Boris Johnson.
Nah, he's got a little boy, schoolboy voice. He's not gravelly like Trump.
Well, they need to wheel him in like Arthur Knight or like they had Robert Durst. get him with like the spit cover on and stuff.
There's a season two of The Jinx for some reason.
They find more audio footage? Or audio recordings?
I mean, he's fucking dead. Yeah. I guess they just followed what happened afterwards.
They got me. God got me. I'm dead.
But back to Trump and how Fox News is painting this whole situation. Guys, actually, the court and the prosecutors and just the entire city and state of New York, they are trying to physically harm this sweet old man by asking him to show up in court.
Donald Trump, been on the move his whole life. Golf, rallies, movement, action, sunlight, fresh air, freedom. This isn't lawfare, it's torture. They're making a 77-year-old man sit inside a dingy room for 8 hours straight, 4 days a week. And if he moves or talks, jail.
A man who shows up and brings Werther's Originals for everyone in the courtroom. Yep. You're gonna send him to jail?
Which, yeah, showing up to court, that's something he did willingly just a few short months ago, even though he absolutely did not have to be present in that civil trial.
So I don't understand what they're trying to say here.
He's taking a turn.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, it's obviously funny that when he's in court, the argument is that he's so frail and old, he can't possibly survive sitting in a room for a few hours. But in literally every other scenario, they hype Trump up as some kind of ageless superhero who could probably kill a grizzly bear with his hands.
Yeah.
If the bear was ever unlucky enough to come face to face with someone as fearless and strong and virile and sexy as Donald Trump.
You know, he really wanted to rip that shirt off to unveil that Superman logo when he had COVID. But I think that by waiting, he's got an even better opportunity now.
He can do it on the witness stand.
Yeah.
So to be honest, he'd probably be pissed at Fox News and Jesse Waters for talking about him like they just did there. That's also funny to think about because you know he's watching this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably, because he's in court, he's having someone TiVo it for him, but...
He's going to watch it later, and then he's going to call Hannity. Yeah. He's going to say, you need to give your son Jesse Waters a spanking.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't grab the clips, but yeah, Don Jr. is... He can't even get a sentence out. He is stumbling over his words. That man is medicated. So... Interesting. But yeah, we said earlier that this trial is supposed to take up to 6 weeks. And while there will definitely be some stuff to talk about for quite some time, the big question on everyone's minds, whether or not Trump will actually take the stand and allow himself to be questioned in front of the jury, which would almost certainly not work well in his favor.
He'd be racking up contempt charges just like... Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh.
Yeah. I mean, he should... Look, I don't like the guy, but I would say... General advice, probably take the advice of your, well, I don't know about his lawyers, but every other lawyer, which is simply shut the fuck up. But we all know that that is next to impossible for Trump. So it is anyone's guess as to whether or not he can restrain himself from saying, no, 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 I want a good chance to get up there and answer a couple questions. People have been saying a lot of nasty things about me, and I want to set the record straight. She had a shallow vagina. I couldn't possibly fit my massive wiener in there.
Hit my mushroom-shaped wiener?
And it doesn't look like a mushroom. It
doesn't look like Toad from the Mario Brothers games. That's a lie.
Nasty lie.
From that whore.
But also this week, the United States Supreme Court, as we said previously, they will be deciding whether or not the President of the United States has full immunity from federal prosecution during their time in office, which, That's happening, and I am very nervous and curious to see what happens.
I mean, the funniest possible outcome would be they decide that, yes, president can't commit crimes while he's president.
And Dark Brandon
And shows Brandon up. Shows up and blanks blank in the blank. Yeah. And what are you going to do about it? I'm president.
Yeah. I don't think this... trial will actually be affected by that because the crimes he committed happened before he was president.
It wouldn't affect him.
But he would definitely go out there and be like, completely exonerated.
Yeah.
I don't know why this sham trial is still happening when I've been completely exonerated.
Also, like, I would have to assume that with enough passage of time, it will come out that he has also committed crimes in the time since he left the office.
Even with that buffer of the presidency, like there's stuff that happened.
You think this man just stopped doing crimes once he moved back home to Mar-a-Lago? I don't I don't think so.
Even the classified documents thing, I don't fucking know, but that would seem like it would be a crime committed after the presidency because he took all of those things with him after the presidency.
Like, taking the documents as president, sure, I guess you're immune from that. Keeping them
now
after you're president,
now Ellie,
it seems like that would still fall under, that's crime. You're not immune anymore.
I've got a big brain lawyer move here. Because Trump never conceded the election, everything he did after January 2021, still totally legal because he assumed that he was still president.
I'm just a doddering old man who should be president once again.
I thought I was president the whole time.
How was I to know?
Yeah. So yeah, you know, there's a lot going on right now. I am very, I don't want to even say curious. I am scared of what the Supreme Court might do in the coming days. But
it seems a little too crazy even for them, but who the hell knows?
A lot going on, and that's because we've all been cursed to live in interesting times. Yeah.
But with all that out of the way, we do have some fun stories and updates coming up. But first, let's take a quick second to thank today's sponsor. And I'm not sure what we did to deserve such a large brand, but apparently they know how much we love looking into the financial disclosures and random information of large companies, because today's episode is sponsored by Yahoo Finance.
Yeah!
A site that we already use all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Here you go. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? Yes. With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views from multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. How the heck do you think I keep tabs on all my many shares of NVIDIA stock that I bought once, 5 years ago, and refuse to ever sell, even though it looks, like, very uncertain right now?
Yeah, but let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to deal with the rising cost of inflation, to pay off your debt or your mortgage, pretty much anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Well, with Yahoo Finance, you can get access to the news, the data, and the tools that you need in order to help reach that financial freedom you're looking for. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or are looking for that extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They are the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. With a community of over 90 million users each month, their real strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. yahoofinance.com, that is yahoofinance.com. No promo code or anything.
Yeah, just go there.
Just brand awareness.
They just want to tell you about it.
Cool.
Anyway, back into the news now. And first off, we have a quick update on the Cybertruck.
You can't even do the vroom vroom noise because they don't make it.
So yeah, there was a recall. It was announced after it was discovered that, oops, the cobbled together accelerator pedal can kind of just fall apart and then jam, causing the car to dangerously barrel forward, destroying anything unlucky enough to be in its path.
Yeah.
Great job, guys. You only had, what, 4 years to figure this thing out?
Mm-hmm.
So good news for those. And this is the most interesting thing about this news is I think it's the first time we've ever gotten confirmation on exactly how many of these things exist.
Yeah, have sold.
Have
so
sold,
It's under 4,000, like 3,900.
It's in the 3,000 range, but yeah, for those few.
Which is more than I thought, but also way less compared to literally any other car on the market.
For those, the few, the proud, the Cybertrucks, weirdos, owners, great news, because Tesla has already deployed a fix. They simply have to get into your brand new $100,000 vehicle and just sort of start drilling holes into it.
Yeah.
There you go. Done. Awesome. Here's The Verge with more on that. Video from a Tesla event in California taken today and Tesla's own documentation confirmed the riveting installation that secures the pad with a rivet, and they show us exactly how it's done. While Aaron Cash's video posted to X says it's a 35-second recall fix demonstrated at the Cyber Takeover event in Long Beach, the video starts with the required drilling jig already in place. With it on the pedal, Tesla's workers drill a hole as specified and install a rivet to secure the pedal pad so it won't come off due to the unapproved change during manufacturing that made it slipperier than intended.
Weird that it's an unapproved change that happened during manufacturing?
Yeah, that's... How does that happen?
I don't know.
You're just... Okay, sure. They're passing the buck. Listen, yeah. It's nobody's fault.
We don't know. We probably fired the guy who told us to do that.
I mean, decent. They just fired some more people.
Yeah, true. So, the service bulletin posted by Tesla reveals the process has a few other required steps, including measuring the distance between the bottom of the aluminum accelerator pedal pad and the bottom of the pedal backing before the work begins. If the bottom of the pad is 5 millimeters or further from the bottom of the pedal, then they're supposed to replace the entire pedal assembly. Once it's all done, they're supposed to inspect the work with a mirror and clean up any debris the process has left in the customer's $99,000 plus truck that came with an untrustworthy accelerator pedal.
Yeah, and this is
absurd.
This is believed to have been one of my favorite Cybertruck mishaps. I don't even know if we talked about it on the show, but someone crashed into like the Beverly Hills Hotel sign.
Yeah.
And like the pictures from the scene are like, how the fuck did this happen?
How would you do this?
And it's
makes sense.
A stuck accelerator pedal would do that.
Yeah. Well, luckily, all you need is Rosie the Riveter. Get in there and start blasting. Yep. Now, I'm sure we'll have more Elon news for you on Tech News Day this week because, well, we always do.
Yeah.
And we'll definitely have some news, especially considering that the company's earnings call, Tesla in particular, will be happening on Tuesday. And they seem to be putting all their eggs in the robo-taxi basket, which I'm not sure is going to work out for them, especially with the very aggressive timelines that Mr. Elon Musk puts on everything within the company. Also, it's been shown for quite a while that the sales numbers do appear to be dropping, so it'll be interesting to see how their earnings call goes.
Yeah.
And who they're going to blame that on. But we'll have to wait to see on that one.
In the meantime, though, let's check in on a guy who we previously covered in an episode of Weekly Weird News. A man who got in trouble with the law for being the unfortunate recipient of a body that produces its own alcohol and does so on a level that is high enough to get him arrested for operating a motor vehicle while technically being over the limit.
Yeah.
Now, in case you forgot about this story, a Belgian man, how appropriate, has a rare condition called autobrewery syndrome, which causes his body to ferment the carbohydrates that he eats, which produces ethanol, and can apparently get him drunk enough to fail breathalyzer tests and other physical side effects of alcohol consumption, despite having not consumed alcohol at all.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it would be bad to have your body produce enough of its own alcohol that you're constantly drunk and therefore unable to drive, operate heavy machinery, and anything else on the long list of things that you shouldn't do while drunk. But the guy involved in this DUI case apparently had no meaningful impairment, didn't consume alcohol at all, and tried his best to inform officers that actually, he's a walking, talking brewery that can't help the fact that he's producing booze internally.
Had to be one of the greatest excuses these cops ever heard.
Okay, buddy.
Yeah, sure, we all produce alcohol in here. Luckily for him, he's now been acquitted of drunk driving, though the odds obviously were stacked against him. Not only was he a walking brewery himself, he also worked at a brewery, which is, it's not nominative determinism, but it's like some kind of body determinism.
Hmm.
I must work.
I mean, he would know the ins and outs of that kind of business, knowing that he himself is a brewery.
No, this isn't fermented enough.
Yeah.
I would know. Careful, he's an expert. So, yes, it's got to be hard to talk to the cops and be like, okay, yeah, I am coming from the brewery. You got me. And, yeah, it seems like I'm fucking drunk. And, sure, it says I'm drunk, but you got to understand, I am myself producing alcohol.
Yeah.
Right now, as we speak.
That's my body.
Yeah, I could spit in a glass and you could do a shot of it to prove it. Obviously, him working at a brewery, being a brewery, made the explanation to the police even more difficult than it obviously needed to be. But with more on this acquittal, here's The Guardian. A Belgian man has been acquitted of drunk driving because he has autobrewery syndrome, ABS, an extremely rare condition whereby the body produces alcohol, his lawyer has said. Anse Gesquer said on Monday that, in another unfortunate coincidence, her client worked at a brewery. But three doctors who independently examined him had confirmed he had ABS. Belgian media said in the verdict, the judge emphasized that the defendant, who was not named in line with local judicial custom, did not experience symptoms of intoxication. The Bruges Police Court, which acquitted the man, did not immediately reply to an email request for comment. Lisa Florent, a clinical biologist with the Belgian hospital AS St. Lucas, said people with ABS produced the same type of alcohol as found in alcoholic drinks, but they generally felt less of its effects. And they add that people are not born with ABS, but can develop it when they already have another intestine-related condition. Patients can present with symptoms consistent with alcohol intoxication, such as slurred speech, stumbling, loss of motor functions, dizziness, and belching. So I assume you got to eat like a ton of bread if you want to get drunk for free.
Yeah. And I think this guy just has an extreme version of what everyone kind of has.
Mm-hmm. I mean, high enough to register, I guess.
Yeah.
This would be terrible for someone like Ian MacKay.
Yeah. Sorry, buddy.
You can't be straight edge anymore.
Take those X's off your hands.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on now, apparently some of the advice that we were given while growing up was wrong. Mm. And if you're bit by a snake, you probably shouldn't catch it or kill it and then bring it to the hospital along with you so the doctors can have a look at it and know how to treat your wound.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the case in Australia, where local hospital staff are now begging snake bite victims to stop bringing snakes into their emergency rooms. Because that creates entirely new problems for everyone involved.
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny because, yeah, you're potentially bringing a deadly snake, one that has already been stressed enough to bite you, into a place with a whole bunch more people to bite. Some of them immunocompromised.
Yeah.
To say the least.
That snake definitely going to be licking its lips, though.
Yes.
Wow, look at this.
You've brought the snake into the hen house.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the fact that our greatest fears about Australia, which is that every creature there wants to kill you, is not only accurate, but these severe snake bites, they happen so frequently that hospitals have to put out press releases asking people to stop bringing them along for treatment. Here's Aussie outlet ABC with more.
Snake bite victims are endangering medical staff by bringing the reptiles with them to hospital, doctors say. In Queensland's Wide Bay region, doctors have come face to face with some of the world's most venomous snakes captured by patients believing it'll help with identification and treatment. In one case earlier this month, emergency staff at Bundaberg Hospital, 4 hours north of Brisbane, were handed a plastic food container with a small eastern brown snake inside peering back at them. The incident has prompted the hospital's director of emergency medicine, Adam Michael, to warn patients to leave snakes alone. Quote, "We honestly don't want people interacting with snakes any more than they already have," Dr. Michael said. "Any attempts to either get close to a snake to catch or to kill or to photograph the snake just puts people at risk."
Dr. Michael said the eastern brown brought in earlier this month was not very well secured and was wriggling around trying to get out. The staff got a fright, and the serious consequence of that is it delays people's time to treatment, he said. There are about 3,000 suspected snake bites across Australia each year, but only 100 to 200 cases require antivenom, according to clinical toxicology researchers at the University of Newcastle, Jeff Isbister. A lot of bites occur because people interfere with snakes, so they either try and pick them up or move them or do silly things with them, and that's when you'll get bitten. So you shouldn't go near a snake at all, Dr. Isbister said. It's pretty dangerous because no one in the hospital will be able to identify it, he said. If that snake gets out in an emergency department, that becomes a huge disaster. We're actually not trained to identify snakes, and so it's not helpful. It just puts the staff at risk as well as yourself. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there you go.
You're literally telling me this for the first time.
Yeah. Probably good to look up in your region what kind of snakes are venomous or not.
Yeah.
Also,
I feel like in Australia, though, like every building should have a poster on the wall being like,
it's like,
look at these. These are our snakes. Don't touch them.
How every like bar or restaurant in New York has to have the Heimlich maneuver poster on the wall.
Yeah.
They got to do that for snakes in Australia.
Yeah.
Don't bring it in, but just come in. We'll have a look at it and we'll be able to figure out what's going on. But please don't bring literally the world's most venomous animals into our fucking emergency room.
They add that doctors will be able to identify whether or not you need the antivenom through other means. Medicine, I guess. Also, they have to call in specialists to remove the snakes from the emergency room because you just brought a potentially deadly snake into an enclosed space with other people around. It's probably pretty triggering for the snake, too.
Yeah.
So, you're wasting snake resources. Leave the snake where you found it.
Meanwhile, the snake handler's like, God damn it, no! This news report's ruining my business!
This is a great racket I've got.
Yeah. All right, yeah, good tip there for the end of the video. Please don't mess with snakes.
Don't mess with them.
And if you get bit by one, at least in Australia, don't bring it with you.
Just cut off whatever limb they got, and then you're good.
Yeah, you just do a handmade tourniquet.
Yeah.
And just, say goodbye.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not an actual piece of advice.
No.
Although, I guess if you are in a life or death scenario, tourniquet is the right choice. That's up for you to decide.
Yeah.
Anyways, another thing you can decide to do is hit that like button, baby.
Smash it.
Smash the like button.
I want to feel it. Oh, wow. Oh, that felt good.
lemonade. Like the video, subscribe to the channel, click the join button if you want to, leave a comment, reply to a comment, and right now, popping up on the screen, you'll see two other videos that we have for you. So check those out, and we'll be back with some tech news very shortly. So stay tuned for that. Click the like button. Bye.
Bye.